الحمد لله ولي الصالحين أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره وأثني عليه وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. To begin, it pleases me tremendously to be here in the city of brotherly love, inshallah, the city of Philadelphia, with my brothers from Ahl Sunnah, here, Masjid Sunnah Nabawiyah, coming together to advise one another mutually with patience and to advise one another mutually with the haqq, with the truth. The subject of the program over this weekend is a very broad topic, and it is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. Whoever of you lives after me will see great differing, and so I advise him to stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa الرَّاشِدِينَ المهديين مِنْ بَعْدِي, of the rightly guided caliphs after me. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. Hold fast to it and bite down on it with your molar teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And I warn you of newly invented matters, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. That's the whole religion. It's found in the hadith, in reality, sticking to the sunnah of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and avoiding that which is introduced into the religion, is an enormous topic. We wanted to scale down to a degree and talk about something that is from Aham al-Muhimmat, that's from the most important of affairs, and it is the pillar upon which the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning al-Islah, concerning rectification of the individual and rectification of the family and rectification of the community is built upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which some of the ulama said was from the last of what was revealed of the Qur'an, if not the last surah revealed in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, alaykum anfusakum. O you who believe, alaykum anfusakum. It is upon you to pay attention to your own self. It is binding upon you to worry about your own self. عليكم أنفسكم لا يضركم من ضل إذا احتديتم. Those that are astray can never harm you so long as you are guided. Those that are astray can never harm you so long as you are guided. This is one of many texts that is found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that demonstrate to us that the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah as regarding al-islah, as regarding rectifying the affairs of the creation, that their methodology, that al-islah yabda'u min al-fard, that islah, it begins with the individual worrying about himself. It begins with each individual person in the community worrying about their self. We find many statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that indicate to us the extreme importance of this. We have the hadith reported by an Imam Ibn Hibban al-Busti, the hadith of Fudalat ibn Ubaid, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi dhatillah, that the Mujahid is the one who struggles against his own soul for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Mujahid is the one who struggles against his soul for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajuri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings this narration in his tremendous book, Adab al-Nufus, the disciplining of the soul. The disciplining of the soul. A tremendous Imam of the Sunnah, he mentions this narration After mentioning that the aqil yakunu fi nafsihi ala ashad al-hadar, that the intelligent person is upon the highest level of cautiousness against his own soul. And he is more cautious and afraid of his soul than he would be afraid of an enemy, yuridu qatlah, or akhda malihi, than he would be from an enemy who wants to murder him, or take his money, or violate his honor. He said, because an enemy that wants to murder you, or that wants to take your money, or that wants to violate your honor, if he was to accomplish that, that there will be kafara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. It will be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiating your sins. But what your soul wants from you, of al-rada, of al-halak, what your soul wants from you, of causing you to perish and destroying you, if your soul was to accomplish what it wants from you, then it will lead you to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the aqil, we say, is like Al-Imam Al-Ajuri rahimahullah ta'ala said, يَحْضَرُ مِن نَفْسِهِ أَشْهَدَ الْحَضَرِ. He is at the highest level of cautiousness and fear concerning his own soul. He bewares and he is aware and he takes caution against his own soul and what his own soul is trying to do to him. It was reported from Fudail ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, مَنْ مَقَتَ نَفْسَهُ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ أَمَّنَهُ اللَّهُ مَقْتَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That whoever despises himself for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spare him from his divine anger on the Day of Judgment. Whoever despises himself for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spare him from his anger on the Day of Judgment. We want to be a little bit more specific than just giving a talk about the importance of worrying about ourselves and focusing upon ourselves. And as much as that we are moving towards the month of Ramadan, the month of the Quran, the month of Siyam, the month where we give our soul what it needs and withhold from our body what it wants, as Ibn Qayyim said in Al-Fawa'id, that the body of the person is created from the earth and his soul is brought from the heavens. And the more he gives his body what his body wants, the more it will akhlada ila al-ard. The more his body will cling greedily to the earth. And the more he gives his soul what his soul needs, the more his soul will incline to the heavens. So since we are coming to this month of the Quran and of Siyam, I wanted to read for you, my brothers and sisters, from the words of Shaykh al-Allama Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, as regards the effect of the Qur'an in curing the souls and the hearts of people. The effect of the Qur'an in curing the souls and the hearts of people. Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his book, Al-Riyadu al-Nadira, he said, قَدْ أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي عِدَّةِ آيَاتٍ مِنْ كِتَابِهِ أَنَا الْقُرْآنِ شِفَاءٌ مِنَ الْأَمْرَاضِ وَخُصُوصًا الْأَمْرَاضِ الْقَلْبِيَّةِ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places in his book has informed us that the Qur'an is a cure for the illnesses of mankind, especially the illnesses of the heart. وَأَنَّهُ رَحْمَةٌ تَحْصُرُ بِهِ الْخِيرَاتُ وَالْكِرَامَاتِ فَبِهِ تَزُولُ الْمَكَارِهِ وَبِهِ تَحْصُلُ الْمَحَابِ. He said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that the Qur'an is a mercy by which the entirety of goodness and every type of honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired. It is that which will remove that which is disliked from the person. And it is that which will bring about everything that a person loves. أَخْبَرَ بِذَلِكَ فِي عِدَّةٍ مَوَاضِعٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a number of places has informed us of that. وشرح الواقع المفصل لهذا الأمر العام في مواضع عند كلامه على التشريع وتفصيل الأوامر والنواهي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained for us the reality, the detailed reality of this cure in a number of places. When he spoke subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the legislations of Islam and concerning the details of his orders and his prohibitions, وَفَصَّلَ الْأَمْرَاضَ الْقَلْبِيَّ وَشَخَّصَهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for us in detail the illnesses of the heart. And He has identified them for us. He has diagnosed them for us. وَبَيَّنَ أَضْرَارَهَا, He has clarified for us the harms of those illnesses of the heart. How important is this for us? Many, if not most of us sitting here, who at one time in our life were outside of the fold of Islam. And many, if not most of those who are sitting here, were not very religious people when they were in that condition. And many, if not most of those who are sitting here, if they had a religion, it was a worship of their desires. They were a person of the night, a person of the street. And they were a person that reminds you of the statement of Hakim al-Tirmidhi when he talked about the salah of the khalq. And he talked about the rectitude and what will repair the creation. And the best place for each of the creation, when he said that the rectitude of the child, صَلَحُ الصَّبِي فِي الْمَكْتَبِ, the rectitude of the child is in the classroom. The rectitude of the woman, فِي بَيْتِهَا, is in her house. The rectitude of the kahal, of the old man, فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, is in the masjid. And the rectitude, he said, of the mujrim, of the criminal, is in the sijin, is in the prison. That the best place for many of us was in the prison. Because we were criminals. In many senses of the word, عُبَّادُ الْأَهْوَى, were people who worshipped our desires. And many people, they came into Islam. And much of what the Islam consists of is al-malbas, the clothes that they wear, al-madhar, the appearance that they have. We're not saying that's not important in the religion. But we say that the أَصْلَ وَالصَّلَاحِ, the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah, the only thing that will fix the situation of the person, it's for him to look at his nafs, for him to look at his soul, and to look at the sicknesses and diseases that are in his heart. And the fact that his soul is killing and sickening his heart on a daily basis. And to confront his soul, and to combat his soul, and to hate and despise his soul for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And to look in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the sunnah of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and find the cure for the sicknesses that he or she is plagued with. The sickness of al-hasad, the sickness of jealousy, the sickness of al-hiqd wal-ghil, the sickness of spite and animosity and malice towards the creation, the sickness of al-kibr, the sickness of arrogance. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us that there are three. لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَعْنِي نَظَرَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. وَذَكَرَ مِنْهُمَ الْعَائِلُ الْمَزْهُوبُ, يعني الفقير المتكبر. He mentioned from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to on the day of judgment. And will not look at, meaning he will not look at with mercy. As the Shurah of Hadith explained. And that he will not purify them and purge them from their sins. They will meet Allah with the khubth, with the filth that was upon them from the dunya of their sins. They will have a grievous punishment. From them he mentioned al-a'ilu al-mazhu. And he's a poor person who was pompous and arrogant. In the world, does a person have to be arrogant about? When they're ignorant of their religion. They have no money, they have no status, they have no authority, they have nothing. Ignorant because of the ignorant and arrogant. Arrogant because of the shoes that they wear on their feet. Arrogant thinking that they're better than their brother. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, الشهود, he said, شهود الذنوب والخطيئة والخطايا. He said that a person looking at his sins and his disobedience and his mistakes, يوجب له الامساك عن عيوب الناس, it necessitates for him that he withholds from looking at the mistakes and the faults of the people, and busying himself from the faults and the mistakes of the people. And that he focuses upon himself. وَلَا يَظُنُّ أَنُّهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُؤْمِنٍ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. He will never think after knowing about عُيُوبَ نَفْسِهِ, about the faults and the mistakes of himself, the diseases that he has within himself, that he is better than any believer who believes in Allah on the Day of Judgment. وَحَبْ بِنُ مُنَبِّهِ. He said, لَا يُعْبَدُ اللَّهُ بِمِثْلِ الْعَقْلِ الْعَاقِلُ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ فَلَا يَلْقَاهُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَيَرَى أَنَّهُ دُونَهُ الخير منه مأمول والشر منه مأمون يقتدي بمن قبله فهو إمام لمن بعده. ثم ذكر 10 خصال وختمها فيما بدأها به فقال يخرج من بيته فلا يلقاه أحد إلا ويرى أنه دونه. وهب بن منبه from the Imams of the Salaf, he said that there is nothing that a person can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better with than being smart and being intelligent. Worshipping Allah in an intelligent fashion. Meaning that he prioritizes. And he yabda bit aham fal muhim. He goes with what is most important than what is next important. He worries about himself before anyone else. He worries about his heart and his understanding of the religion and his intention and his ikhlas and so on and so forth before he worries about anything else. Wahab ibn al-Munabbih, he said this person, the aqil, the intelligent person, leaves from his home, and he doesn't come across any person from the Muslims, illa yara annahu duna, except that he sees and believes that he is less than them. Al-khayru minhu ma'amun, al-khayru minhu ma'amul, and all good is to be expected from him. Wa-sharru minhu ma'amul, and you can feel safe of any harm from him. He takes the example of the Salaf of those who came before him, and he becomes an imam for those who come after him. And he mentions totally 10 characteristics of the Aqil, and he closes it with the same statement. He leaves from his home. Whenever he leaves from his home, he doesn't come across any person. إِلَّا يَرَى أَنَّهُ دُونَ, except that he sees that he is less than them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in detail, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the person from Ahl al-Sunnah, when they speak about the people of innovation, it cannot be for the intention of popularity, for the intention of dragging other people down to prop yourself up. When we speak about the people of innovation even, our intention has to be correct. We have to be careful of them because they are upon a manhajun fasid. They are upon an evil and corrupt methodology. And if we were upon their way, or allow our communities to be upon their way, or the people to be deceived by their way, we would do ourselves an injustice. We would be trying to get close to Allah with something that would bring us farther from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look at the creation, we realize, when we look at the majority of those who are misguided, that there is nothing that we did that makes us deserve guidance. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَجْعَلْ لِقَلْبِكَ مُقْلَتَيْنِ كِلَاهُمَا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ بَاكِيَتَانِ. He said, make your face have muqlatayn. Speaking about the eyes. Make the eyes inside of your face as such that they weep from خَشْيَةِ of الرَّحْمَانِ. لَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَكُنْتَ أَيْضًا مِثْلَهُمْ. If Allah had so willed, you would have been just like them. You would have been a mubtadi' or you would have been a kafir. لَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. If your Lord has so willed. فَالْقُلُوبُ بَيْنَ أَصَّابِ الرَّحْمَانِ. For verily the hearts are between the fingers of Ar-Rahman. A person should never feel that he has a fadl ala ahad, that he has any superiority or virtue over anyone. If he dislikes anyone, he looks at himself as a salaf al-salih. As was reported from Abu Darda, he said, "La yafqahu ar-rajul kull al-fiqh hatta yamqata an-nas fi dhati Allah, thumma yarji'u aw ya'udu ila nafsihi fayakunu ashadda maqtan li nafsihi." He said that no person will truly understand his religion all of the way until he dislikes the people, has dislike for what the people are upon for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he looks at his own self. And he dislikes himself even more than he dislikes them. So there are sicknesses in the heart that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal has given us, as the Shaykh Sa'di rahimullah ta'ala has given us the tafasir, he has given us the details of how to cure them, how to rectify our hearts, how to worry about ourselves before we worry about anyone else. Ibn Qayyim rahimullah ta'ala, he said, وَلَا أَنْفَعْ وَلَا أَنْجَعْ وَلَا أَنْجَحْ لِلْقُرُوبِ, that there is nothing more beneficial or more effective or more anything that will bring more success to the heart مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ بِتَدَبُّرٍ وَتَمَعُنْ, that there is nothing that will benefit the heart and correct the heart more than reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and reflecting upon its meanings. Shaykh Sa'di rahimullah ta'ala, he goes into a lot of detail. And you know I'm long-winded. So stretch your legs out. Get comfortable. Take a deep breath. And here we go. Shaykh Sa'di rahimullah ta'ala, Abdul Rahman Sa'di rahimullah ta'ala, he said, وذكر العباد كيف يسعون في إزالتها واقتلاعها وتوجيهها إلا ما ينفع ولا يضر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded his servants, has informed his servants of how they can strive to remove those sicknesses and uproot those sicknesses and direct those sicknesses in the best fashion. And this is something that's tremendous that we find in the book Madaris al-Salikin that Ibn Qayyim mentions from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that there are some things that the way that a person is using them is a sickness, and they can be turned into strengths at the same time. Some people are more aggressive than others. Some people are more shy than others. Some people, their shyness causes them to not order the good and forbid the evil. Some people, their aggression causes them to be arrogant. And there are qualities and characteristics in a person that he can use the religion, the guidelines of the religion, to direct those things in the proper fashion. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that you will find and خير الناس في هذا الأمر أشدهم له كراهية قبل أن وقع فيه, that you will find that those that are the best as regards this religion are those who are the worst opposed to it, the most opposed to it before they entered into it. Those that were most opposed to Islam, those that were fighting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions day and night, doing everything they could in their capability to try to extinguish the light of Allah Azza wa Jal with their mouths. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahad al-Umarain. O Allah, strengthen and honor Islam with one of the two Umars. Meaning, Umar ibn Hisham, it's Abu Jahl, or Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that if they were to use that type of energy in support of the religion, there will be an asset for the religion. So a person, they have to look at those things that they have within themselves, sometimes, and instead of trying to entirely uproot them, they need to direct them in the proper fashion. They need to direct them in the proper channels, in the proper way. He said, فَمِنْهَا أَنَ الشُّحْ صَبِيعَةٌ نَفْسِيَّةٌ وَمَرْضٌ دَاخِرِيٌ. He said, we find from the diseases mentioned in the Quran, that stinginess and greed, that it is a natural quality of the soul, and it is an inner sickness. فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَ وَأَحْضَرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحْ. As we find in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the souls are ever present, presented with a shuh. And they are full of a shuh, and of greed, and stinginess. The Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimullah ta'ala, he said, وَأَنَا الْإِنسَانُ مَجْبُورٌ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ الْمَالِ. He said, and we find that the human being, that it is natural for him to love money and property. وَأَنَّهُ لِهُبِ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And that his love of the good things of the dunya is a severe love. وَذَلِكَ يَقْتَضِي إِمْسَاكُهُ عَنْ كُلِّ وَجْهٍ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهٍ فَهَذَا الْمَرَضُ مَوْجُودٌ فِي كُلِّ النُّفُوسِ الْبَشَرِيَّةِ مُتَغَلْغِلٌ فِي الضَّمَائِرِ. He said, this soul is found within the within this sickness is found within the souls of all of mankind, and it is found within their hearts. ولكنه تعالى عالجه بعلاجات قوية نافعة. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cured this sickness with a number of beneficial cures. He has cured this illness with a number of beneficial cures. عالجها بقوة تقهر جميع القوى النفسية إذا تمت وهي قوة الإيمان. He has cured it with a power or a force or a strength that would defeat every strength of the soul when it is brought into full fruition and when it is completed. And it is the strength and the force of Iman. وخصوصا الواجبات الكبار وحقوق الضرورية كالنفقة في الزكاة والجهاد وعلى المحتاجين وعلى من لهم حق على الإنسان. He said, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بينا أن الإيمان يدعو المؤمنين إلى القيام بجميع حقوق الإيمان. He said, Allah has clarified that Iman summons the believers to establishing and undertaking all of the duties that are connected to their faith. He said, especially الواجبات الكبار, especially the major obligations that are upon them. He said, like paying and rendering the zakat, and like spending, he said, in al-jihad, in the legislated jihad. Disclaimer, again, here we go. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe that jihad has shurut and dawabit, and there are certain conditions and so on and so forth. When we say spending upon jihad, we don't mean supporting terrorists and so on and so forth. وعلى المحتاجين, and spending upon those that are in need. وعلى من لهم حق على الإنسان, and spending upon those that have a right upon the human being like his family. وأخبر في عدة آيات أن الإنفاق من حقوق الإيمان الكلية الكبار. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in a number of verses that spending is from the major comprehensive duties and rights of a person's faith. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَتِمُّ الْإِيمَانُ لَا يَتِمُّ إِيمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُوَدِّ الزَّكَاةِ. And the faith of a person is not completed until he renders the zakat. وَحَتَّى يُنْفِقَ النَّفَقَاتِ الْمَأْمُورُ بِهَا. وَأَنَّ مَنْ قَوِيَ إِيمَانُهُ لَا يَتَمَانَ مَعَهُ خُلُقُ الْبُخْلِ وَالشُّحِ. He said, and until he spends in those expenditures that he is commanded with. And the ulama of Islam, they have a principle that says, مَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ إِلَّا بِهِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبُ. Whatever it takes to complete an obligation is itself an obligation. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَنْ نَبْنِي الْمَسَاجِدِ فِي الدُّوَرِ وَأَنْ تُطَيَّبُ وَتُنَظَّفُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he ordered us to build the masajid in the residential areas in which they are needed. And that they be clean, and that they be made to, they are fragranted, made to have a good smell. Whatever it takes to make the masjid comfortable, to make it a place where the people are sheltered from the elements of the heat and the cold and so on and so forth. Where the masjid is a place of refuge where the people can come and worship their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And learn beneficial knowledge and read the book of Allah azza wa jal. And contemplate upon the book of Allah azza wa jal. Whatever it takes to complete the obligation of spending, then it itself is an obligation. And the person who spends for their cause, for this cause, he is helping the people in their ibadah, and he shares with them in the reward. So all of these types of nafaqa, all of these types of expenditures are things that will remove the greediness from his soul. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed us that from the most despicable and horrible of qualities that a person can have is to be greedy and stingy with his money. As he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِئْسَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الْمَرْءِ جُبْنٌ خَالِعٌ وَبُخْلٌ هَالِعٌ. That the worst qualities that can be found in a person are anguished greed. And what is meant by بُخْلٌ هَالِعٌ, by anguished greed, is that a person doesn't want to give. And when they give begrudgingly. And they dislike the fact that they gave. After they gave, they regret the fact that they gave. They regret the fact that they gave. بُخْلٌ هَالِعٌ وَجُبْنٌ خَالِعٌ. That a person has anguish, greed, and that he has unnerving cowardice. To the point that some of the Salaf, they said that these are two of the most important qualities, if not the two pillars of al-muru'ah, of dignity and respectability for a man. And the level of his courage and the level of his generosity. The level of his courage and the level of his generosity. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that some of the scholars in the past, he said in his book Al-Furusiyah, he said that some of the scholars in the past, they said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِأَهْلِ الشَّجَاعَةِ وَالسَّخَىٰ فَإِنَّهُمْ أَهْلُ حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. I advise you to stick close to the people who are brave and generous, for verily they are the people who have حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. They are the people who think well about Allah Azza wa Jal. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yansuru man yansuru deena. That Allah Azza wa Jal, that He will come to the aid of those who aid His religion. They have courage. And that is beyond what a person can imagine. And there's a narration brought by Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya that says, Kana Abu Bakr as-Siddiq أول خطيب دعا إلى الله ورسوله. The Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the first khatib. He was the first khatib that called to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger. The people, they came and they said, aren't we upon the truth and they're upon falsehood? And they pressed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out publicly from where they were in the home of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam, to go from this place where they were meeting in private and learning their religion, to go and proclaim the message. And they said, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that he stood in front of all of the Quraysh and called to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Quraysh, they came, and the Mushrikun, they came from all corners of the masjid and beat him to a bloody pulp and left footprints upon his face. And the people of his tribe, they had to carry him in a thawb outside of the masjid al-Haram to the home of his mother. And he regained consciousness later in that night, and the first thing he said, مَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. What happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's heart. They said about Imam Malik, they said that he wasn't known to have كثير الصيام ولا الصلاة. That he had a lot of fasting that he was known for, or a lot of praying that he was known for. But he used to have a sarira. They said he had heart. Imam Malik, what made him different from the people? And he was the fact that he would come directly with the truth. He had that type of courage. The people who have courage, they have husnul dhan billah. They have good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. The people who are generous, they have good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the cure in the Quran as regards greed and as regards the other sicknesses of the heart. He said, so when the more the iman of the person grows strong, the more he will find that he is not prevented from spending by these characteristics of greed and stinginess. بَلْ يَأْتِي طَبْعًا مُنْقَادًا لِدَعِي الْإِيمَانِ وَهَذَا أَقْوَى عِلَاجٍ لِهَذَا الدَّاءِ. He said, but rather he will come, he will find himself following accordingly and submissive to the da'i. And the inclination and the summoning of faith inside of his heart whenever he is confronted with the feeling of stinginess or greed. He said, and this iman is the strongest ilaj. It is the strongest cure for this sickness. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْحَانِ. For this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, and sadaqa is a burhan. Sadaqa is an evidence, a burhanun wa dalil, ala sihati imani sahibiha. Meaning it is an evidence and a proof for the genuineness and authenticity of the faith of the person who has this quality, who gives in sadaqa. Fa innal iman, for verily al iman, mahbub. Fa innal iman, mahbubun, ويجب تقديم هذا المحبوب على جميع على جميع محاب النفوس. He said, for verily he loves his faith. And so it is necessary for him to give precedence to this faith that he loves over everything else that his soul loves. Everything else that his soul wants. To the point that it was reported in the books of Tafsir from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu wa aradahu, that he said, wallahi, if a person was to give everything that he had for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, would not be tadzir, and not be a waste of his money. If he was to spend all of his money upon anything else, it would be a waste, but if he was to give it for the sake of his religion, it would not be a waste. فَمَتَ تَعَارَضَ الدَّاعِيَ الطَّبِيعِيُّ وَهُوَ شُحٌّ وَدَاعِيُ الْإِيمَانِ فَعِنْدَ هَذَا التَّعَارُضِ يَتَّضِحُ مَنْ هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ حَقَّهُ الَّذِي يُؤَدِّي كُلَّ مَا عَلَيْهِ لا يلتفت إلى شح وبخل ومحبة المال. He said, and so when he finds that he has the temptation to be greedy, at the same time he has a summoning, and what his heart calls him to on account of his faith, and when these things, when they conflict and when they contrast one another, he said, then he will find, you will find the person who is a true believer. That he is a person who renders everything that is binding upon him. And he doesn't turn to, and he is not distracted, and he doesn't turn at all to his inclination to greed or stinginess or his love of money. مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَصِلِ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَى قَلْبِهِ. And you will see the person who is like this opposed to the person who Iman has not yet fully reached his heart. And it has not reached his heart and to such a level. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. He said, and that is the person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the edge. And if the khair comes to him, أَطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. And he feels good, he feels at peace on account of that. And if the evil comes to him, and he turns back on his heels, losing this world and the hereafter. إِنْ سَلِمَ مِنَ الْمُعَارَضَاتِ ثَبَتَ عَلَى دِينِهِ وَإِنْ عَارَضَهُ أَيُّ هَوًا يَكُونَ أَنْحَازٍ يَكُنُوا أَنْحَازَ مَعَ الْهَوَى وَتَرَكَ الدِّينِ. He said, you find that such a person, and if there is nothing in his religion that goes against what he wants, that he will be firm upon his deen. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, whoever worships Allah only in those things that he likes, then he only worships himself. He said, you find that the person who is like that, and he, as long as he is safe from those things that he dislikes to do, he remains firm upon his religion. وَإِنْ عَارَضَهُ أَيُّ هَوَنْ. But if he is opposed by any desire from his soul, then he will go in the direction of his desires and he will leave off what his religion instructs him to do. فَهَذَا قَدْ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ. And the person who is like this will lose in this world and the hereafter. وَعَالَجَ هَذَا الْخُلُقُ أَيْضًا وعالج هذا الخلق أيضا بالترغيب المتنوع في النفقات في الثواب العاجل والآجل وما فيه من الخلف وتنمية خلق الكرم والجود في العبد والأجر المتضاعف الذي لا يدع المؤمن يتجار مع بخله وشحه ويفوت المغانم الجليلة والآثار الجميلة. He said, and likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cured the person from this despicable characteristic, بالترغيب المتنوع في النفقات. Yani in the different instances that we find in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged the people to spend in all sorts of causes, telling them what is the reward in this world and the hereafter for the person who spends. Telling them how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guarantee that they will be repaid on the Day of Judgment. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will develop within that person the characteristic of generosity and kindness. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a multiple reward. When a person has this, it will not allow him to go off behind his greed and his stinginess and to lose these tremendous rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these beautiful effects that generosity has upon him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his book Al-Fawa'id, that the ibadat that a person does, the ta'at, the acts of obedience that a person does, by themselves are ni'am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when he does them, they will fill his heart with happiness. And that just doing them and completing them by itself is its own reward. The feeling that you get by itself is its own reward. In this world, it is an immediate reward in this life. You will have happiness in this life on account of doing these things. You will feel good because you gave for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because you helped your brother or your sister who was in need. Because you came to the support of somebody who was in dire straits. And you helped them take care of their affairs. It will bring great happiness to your heart. And that by itself is a blessing by itself. He said, and what is in store for them in the hereafter is an entirely other type of blessing. It is an entirely other type of blessing. So when the person sees these beautiful effects that they have upon him, that by itself will be enough for him to leave off stinginess and for him to leave off greed. وَأَيْضًا يُرَحِبُ مِنْ عُقُوبَاتِ الْمُمْسِكِينَ وَعَوَاقِبِ الْبُخَلَاءِ الْمَانِعِينَ. He said, and likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he warns regarding the punishment of those who withhold from spending for the sake of Allah, for the mandatory spending. And the end results of those that are bukhala, and those that are stingy who withhold from spending for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the hadith of Abu Dharr, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, give glad tidings to those who withhold from paying the zakat of a coal that will be burned, that will be burned, and in the heat of the hellfire, that will be brought to a high extremity of heat in the hellfire, that will be placed upon the chest of one of them, that will burn through to his back. Speaking in detail of the, azab, of the punishment that comes for the one who withholds from spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in the hereafter, in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَ. And spend for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and do not cast yourself into destruction at your own hands. Do not cast yourself into destruction at your own hands. If we don't spend on the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will spend upon them? If the masajid were to shut down, or if the activity of the masjid was to shut down, we need to increase. And what is occurring in the masajid, there needs to be our masajid needs to be full-time marakis, where the tafsir of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being taught on a daily basis, where the explanation of the ahadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being taught on a daily basis, where the Arabic language is being taught on a daily basis, where our children are memorizing Quran on a daily basis. And we need to increase in the good that's not going to happen without the people coming out of their pocket and spending upon these endeavors. And freeing up the time of the students to go overseas into the defeat of the ulama. And get this knowledge to bring back to the people. And free up the time of those who come back. And those that are busy with the da'wah so that they could attend to these affairs. And he وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not cast yourself into destruction at your own hands. And these things, they go hand in hand. And everyone shares in the reward. Everyone who spends, they share in the reward. It's like you were sitting with those children teaching them the Quran yourself. It's like you were sitting with the brothers, helping them memorize the ahadith about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yourself. It was like you were sitting with your brothers and your sisters teaching them the Arabic language yourself, because you helped to support those people. And you helped to support the masajid and pay for the enmities of the masjid and make the masjid places that could accommodate, that were wide and spacious enough to accommodate the people and comfortable enough for the people to come and learn the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship their Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, the punishment of those who withhold from spending in this world and the hereafter. And he mentions the awaqib, yani the end result of the affairs of those that are greedy and withhold. He said, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this targhib and this tarheeb, He causes a person, hada hada targhib wa tarheeb ila al-badli fil wajibati wal mustahibbat. He said that by this type of encouraging and mentioning the reward of spending, and this type of tarheeb of mentioning the punishment for not spending for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has driven the people to sacrificing from their wealth as regards that which is mandatory to spend and that which is recommended to spend. Bi nufusin mutma'inna wa qulubin wathiqa bi wa'adillah. While their souls feel content and their hearts are wathiqa and their hearts are reliant upon the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaifatan min wa'idihi. And fearful of the punishment of Allah. وَقَرَّرَ ذَلِكَ بِذِكْرِ مَآلِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَمَا نَالُوا مِنَ الْخَيْرِ الْعَاجِلِ وَالْآجِلِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further ratifies this by mentioning the end result and the reward of those who are muhsineen. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in one of his books, he said that after the right of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest right, of the creation, over the creation is the right of the ulama. He said, and then the right of the parents over their children. He said, and then the right of the muhsineen. And then the right of those that are generous with their wealth, who spend for the sake of Allah to benefit the Muslims. They have a right upon us that we speak well of them and we make dua for them. And that we are grateful for what they have done. They have a right over us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran He has mentioned, and the end result, and what will eventually come about, a reward for those who spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has mentioned the end result of those who withhold. وَكَيْفَ كَانَتْ عَوَاقِبُهُمْ أَسْوَعِ الْعَوَاقِبِ كَيْفَ زَالَتْ نِعَمَهُمْ وَمَهَابُهُمْ وَحَلَّتْ بِهِمَ النِّقَمُ وَالْمَكَارِهِ. And He mentioned how those who withhold, that they meet the worst of demises. And that they, are punished with the worst of punishments. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh he says here, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove those blessings from them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them an account of not spending for the sake of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith that was greater to be Hassan by a Shaykh al-Albani rahimullah ta'ala, in al-Jami al-Saghir, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى نَاسًا يَخْتَصُّهُمْ بِنِعَمٍ لِمَنَافِعِ الْعِبَادِ فَيَقِرُّهَا فِيهِمْ مَا بَذَلُوهَا فَإِذَا مَنَعُوهَا حَوَّلَهَا مِنْهُمْ أَوْ نَزَعَهَا مِنْهُمْ فَحَوَّلَهَا إِلَى غَيْرِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has people that He particularly gives His blessings to in order to benefit the creation. And He will allow them to retain and keep those blessings, whether that blessing is knowledge, whether that blessing is a tawjih, and the ability to give good advice and nasiha, whether that blessing is financial, whether that blessing is that you have some type of status that you could benefit a Muslim for, and vouch on behalf of a Muslim who needs your help, that is deserving of being vouched for. No matter what that blessing is, Allah has servants that He particularly gives His blessings to benefit the creation. He will allow them to retain those blessings so long as they use them for their proper purposes. وَإِذَا مَنَعُوهَا حَوَّلَهَا نَزَعَهَا مِنْهُمْ فَحَوَّلَهَا إِلَى غَيْرِهِمْ. When they refuse to use them in their proper purposes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them from them. Allah will snatch those blessings from them and transfer them to others. And He will transfer those blessings to others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from His anger and to allow us to benefit from what He has blessed us with and He has guidance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this tremendous manhaj. And this is just some of what the Shaykh mentioned, and I have to admit that I was ill prepared, and you know how it goes, running here and there and to and fro, and this is the best that I could do. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.